since I don't know when.
Oh my goodness, Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVlantes. And it is the 4th of July holiday, but do you really need an excuse to have a good beer? I say no. I say any time is a good time for beer, and a day without beer is a day that's a little bit sadder in my estimation. Bill Hurley is the owner and CEO of Empirical Brewing Company. Empirical Brewery is in up on Ravenswood. The brewery is at, let's see, that is at 1801 West Foster, but you enter on Ravenswood, is that correct? Very sneaky.
Yep, that's right.
And then we're here not only to talk about the fine beers at Empirical, but you guys just opened a tap room, which is very, very exciting, and we'll get to all that. Mm-hmm. But first of all, thank you for coming in. Thank you for bringing some samples. Roger Baddish is here. I know Kevin is going to come down and Violetta and sample some beers too. For those not familiar with Empirical, tell us a little bit about the company and how you guys got started.
Sure. So we are a couple years old. We started up in 2015. We were keg only for a little while there.
Okay.
Until we could afford to buy a bottling machine.
Oh, is that so? When you're keg only, are you just doing the tasting room at the brewery and local places?
We didn't even have that. We literally were just sending out kegs to distributors and hoping to God that someone bought them.
Yeah.
Without a brand, so it was pretty tough. But you know, we scraped together the cash to open the tap room and get the bottling machine going. So in 2015, late 2015, October actually, I remember the exact date because it was the toughest day of my life getting that license. Oh. I think we got it about an hour and a half before we were supposed to open.
Really?
Yeah.
I can only imagine jumping through all the hoops between the city and the state to try to get a liquor license.
And they are helpful, but it's such a long and involved process. Yeah. So, but everyone was really great to us. Alderman O'Connor was there at 4 o'clock when we opened, and at 4:30 we had 100 people in our tap room.
So wow.
Great support from the neighborhood.
And how did you decide that was the neighborhood to settle in?
My wife and I actually live nearby.
Okay.
And we've always loved the Ravenswood neighborhood. You know, obviously when you're starting a brewery, you need a manufacturing zone.
Right.
So there's a limited number of properties you can have. And so this particular area, it offers the best of both worlds. You're right next to the metro, so it's all industrial zoned. But then right on the other side, there's a lot of great residential neighborhoods and a lot of people that are going to come into your tap room and support you.
Very nice. And your slogan is the science of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always tease that brewers are part mad scientists because you're not only brewing beer, you know, regular beer, but you're always coming up with different formulas, different flavors, trying to evolve, you know, a lager into something else or an IPA into something else. What's your background? Were you a scientist or just a guy who liked beer? What was your deal?
I was actually, you know, I always loved science, but I was never a scientist. I always thought I'd make a great mechanical engineer, but I grew up poor and I wanted to make sure I wasn't poor the rest of my life. So I went into finance.
Ah, all right.
So I had a financial background, but that was not cutting it for me. So that career ended abruptly. And I took all of my wife and I, my savings, and put it into a craft brewery.
Had you known anything about this business? I mean, you know finance, so you know business, but did you know about the brewery business is completely different?
I did. You know, I'd spent 4 years researching it. That was my thing. I was a researcher.
Okay.
I research everything meticulously. And I did spend a long time. You know, this is when, if you think about 07 to 11 when I was planning this thing, it was
That's
the time
exploding.
When it was exploding. Yeah, I was going nuts. And in fact, by 11, there were about, I don't know, probably 1,500 breweries out there.
Yeah.
And we were thinking, oh, wow, it's getting a little frothy, right?
Yeah. This has got to reach saturation point at this point.
Of course, now there's three times as many.
Yeah.
And it's still not saturated yet. But back then, I was a little worried. And I said, if I'm going to do this, let's do it the right way. Let's have a reason to come up with yet another brewery.
Okay.
And so I was thinking about, you know, what is going to be our thing. It's going to be about quality. I love beer. I want to make the best beer out there. I want to try to be the best rated craft brewery in the country, at least.
There you go.
So you start with great equipment. Mm-hmm. So everything in the brewery is brand new, American, state-of-the-art equipment. And by the way, America is about two-thirds of the craft brewing industry globally.
Is that right?
We make the best equipment in the world. So don't let anyone tell you the Germans make better equipment. So it starts with equipment, and that's what we do. We got a great 30-barrel system. We got a one-barrel system to support that, so that's where we do all our fun experimenting.
Yeah.
We're always brewing in that thing. That's what goes out into the tap room.
Okay.
And then, of course, people. find the right people.
Right.
And that took a long time to find
the
right people.
How do you find the right brewmaster?
It's tough. I mean, we went through a period where we didn't have the right people, and now we do. Right. It's taken years to find the people that are best aligned with this culture, which is pretty much be leaving them alone.
Okay.
Just say, go do your thing.
Yeah.
And, you know?
Well, if you're not, I mean, like I said, if you're not in that mindset, mm-hmm. That's a smart idea. There's people who are good at the finance end, mm-hmm. good at the business end, and then there's the people who are, you know, mixing things up in the lab.
Right.
And you got to let those people do their thing.
You know, the final component was, you know, and this came to me when I was on a tour at Budweiser, actually. Yeah. You know, here's the best equipment in the world, best people in the world, unlimited amount of money, basically. Right. But is it the best beer in the world? Of course not. Yeah. And they were losing 1.5% market share every year. And the reason was they were brewing the wrong beer. They still are. And I think they're learning that, obviously.
Yeah.
Because now they're buying up a lot of the craft breweries in this country. But, you know, the reality is if you're making the best Americanized German-style Pilsner in the country, you're still making the wrong beer.
Yeah.
And so my big thing was with Empirical was we're going to take observations. We're going to ask the folks coming into the tap room, what do you want to drink? And, you know, try this out, try that out.
Ah.
Give us feedback when we're kind of refining a recipe.
All right.
And that's how we get better. And it's not the beer I want to drink. I'm a hophead.
You know,
I would make Infinity and the Double Helix all day long.
All right.
What the reality is the cream ale is our best seller.
Is it really? Yeah. Well, and we're going to talk about the different beers. We're also going to talk about the brand new brew pub. Bill Hurley is here. He's the owner and CEO of Empirical Brewery. If you go to empiricalbrewery.com, you can get all the information on the tap room, the brewery tours, the history of the brewery. You can also find out what they have, the beers that are year-round, some seasonals. So we'll get into all of that and more. I have never heard so many people screaming my name in panic. Brian. We're talking beer. Bill Hurley is here. He's the owner and CEO of Empirical Brewery, which is in up on Ravenswood, 1801 West Foster, actually, but you enter on Ravenswood. But they have a brand new brew pub, which is now open at 1328 West Morse Avenue. It's in Rogers Park. Empiricalbrewery.com is the website where you can find all this out. But let's talk about the brew pub real quick, because this is a new venture for you guys. You've been doing the beer. Right. How'd you decide, okay, We've got the tap room at the brewery, and people are coming in there enjoying that. But let's expand. What brought this on, the big expansion?
Well, you know, it comes down to going back to the whole empirical model, getting a lot of observations.
Yeah.
And we were doing well in the tap room. We said, why don't we open another retail location?
Okay.
So I went out, and I was looking for a spot where we could have yet another laboratory, if you will.
All right.
And, you know, basically, people heard I was looking for a place, and one of the attorneys for the Tuani Corporation here in Chicago, they told me to take a look at the old Main Stage Theater.
Okay.
And there used to be a restaurant in front of that, and everyone looked at it. Initially, we thought it was going to be another production brewery. They thought maybe, you know, you convert the theater into a production brewery.
Yeah.
And I said it would be a shame to ruin any part of this theater, so that was off the table.
Okay.
But there's a little retail location right next door where we can put in a 5-barrel, which we're going to be building very shortly.
Oh, wow.
A 5-barrel system. You know, like I said, we had a 1 and a 30.
Right.
Putting a 5 in is going to give us tremendous production flexibility in our experimentation. So we'll be able to do whatever we want.
So those will be your experimental beers mm-hmm. that are be in the tap room, and they'll be at the brew pub.
Exactly.
And people can try them there.
And meanwhile, you know, Rogers Park, too, it's a great neighborhood.
Yeah.
I think it's completely like undersold right now. It's you know, I lived up in Edgewater for a number of years, and that whole area is really blowing up. It's really become a great neighborhood. And,
well, see, now the more you talk about it, now it's going to become more out of reach for people. But that's good. More people to come into the brew pub and enjoy some Empirical.
We'll move quick, I guess. Yeah.
And what's the menu like? So how now you've got your mm-hmm. you've been focused on creating this great beer. The menu has to measure up. How does that meld together?
Well, remember too, just to step back, I was looking for a taproom. I didn't want to get into food.
Okay, right.
I have no experience in food, but the people on my team have a combined 55 years experience in food. And
that's a good team.
Yeah, it's a fantastic team, and that's what you need to build if you're going to do a restaurant.
Yeah.
So my big thing was, our tagline is exploring the science of beer, at Empirical. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to do food, then it's exploring the science of beer and food.
And food, yes.
And so the mandate from the start was use the beer in the food as much as you can.
And makes sense.
It's not done very often, so it was tough, and it took months and months and months of trying different recipes. But now 17 of the 33 items on the menu have beer in them.
Is that right?
And they're pulling it off, I'll tell you.
Nice.
I mean, it's like the milkshake, which has phase transition porter and then an upcork passion fruit pale ale whipped cream. I mean, that's amazing.
It sounds amazing.
I'm literally blown away by some of the stuff they've done with the beer and the food. And also, of course, you're pairing beer with the food.
Yeah.
So we're getting more into that. We'll be launching a brunch soon where it's... We're calling it Kegs and Eggs, which is a beer brunch.
Yeah, yeah.
So, college days, Kegs and Eggs. Yeah. Wake up early on a Saturday.
I think this might be a little more upscale than what we're used to.
Scramble some eggs, crack the Bush Light keg, and we got ourselves a Saturday afternoon.
God. Can I just say
the porter that I'm drinking right now, it is delicious, one. But two, it brings me back to the fall. Because I always drink porters in the fall, and this is absolutely delicious.
Yeah, but it's not as heavy as something you normally have in the fall. You know, it's nice and light.
This is good stuff.
Yeah, we use PNC brown sugar in that, which is a less refined brown sugar to kind of bring that rummy, raisiny flavor to it. So that's been one of our greatest successes. It's an imperial, well, not an imperial porter, but I think it's about 8% alcohol.
Ooh,
and they use it in all of our desserts. They use it in our brown gravy. They're really using that beer heavily. Now we're making it all year round for them.
I was going to say, you've got to keep it going.
Yeah.
As hard as it was to find a brewmaster who could do the right thing, I'm guessing to find a head chef who could create a menu around these beers had to be kind of a Herculean task.
We actually, we approached a guy who we'd worked with for, one of our guys had worked with him for 7.5 years, Patrick Wasserman. And he actually referred our head chef, Tim Fink, to us. So he had worked with him for 2.5 years. So this is a team that has already had, years of experience with each other,
nice.
Which is critical.
Yeah.
When you're trying to learn each other while you're trying to, start a new business.
No, that's going to be a nightmare.
It's hard enough.
Yeah.
It really is hard enough. So we're blessed to have such a great team.
It's terrific. And again, the new brew pub is at 1328 West Morse Avenue. It's in Rogers Park. So go there. What are the hours? What's the deal?
General hours are 12 to 12, and I think we close a little early on Sundays.
Cool.
12 to 10 on the slower days like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're closed on Mondays.
Makes sense. Oh, hold on, Roger. Your mic's not on.
All right.
Wow, yeah. Roger Badish has a couple beers. He gets all of a sudden all mouthy. Why don't you jump in?
But I know the area very well. Mm-hmm. You've got it's an L stop right there.
Yeah, it's
on the
right
red line, and you've got the Sheridan bus, the Morris bus. All stopping there, so it's a
well your
great
old
location.
Chicago, your old mayor's office PR jobs coming into
it's,
play very
it's
nice.
It's actually, if I had a good throwing arm, it wouldn't be very far for a stone's throw from where I live at. It's about 10 blocks away, so I know the area quite well.
So Bill, you're in trouble because now he knows where you are. He knows he can kind of walk there, and you'll be engaged in many many conversations across the bar with Roger. Which
but
is,
yeah, it's great. And what is this one again?
That is the Cold Fusion Cream Ale, which is wonderful.
We talked about this before. It was just delicious.
This was the one. This is a year. Tell us the year-round beers.
So we just launched that as our newest year-round beer.
It's very good.
It's in bottles and kegs all over Chicago. And actually, we have distribution all over northern Illinois,
very
but
nice.
We're focused mainly on Chicago, obviously. And we'll as we grow, we'll branch out. And then Heliotropic Pale Ale. It's a hoppy pale ale. It's not too hoppy, but it uses common hops, which is a hop you don't see too often. Got a very nice kind of grapefruity flavor to it. And then the Extreme Beer Lovers Beer Infinity IPA, which has got about twice the amount of hops as the next normal single IPA.
Wow. Let me ask you about that, because, and not to be a beer snob, but I'm more of a malt guy. Like Kevin said, I'm a fall beer guy. I love malt. And I like hops to a certain point. What is the fascination with a lot of brewers and more? It seems the more hops, the better. Oh, man, we got to go. This beer is so full of hops, you have to drink it through a strainer.
Yep.
It's what's the allure of hops?
It is kind of fascinating. There was a beer called, I think it was 1,000 IBU beer, and it's kind of ironic because your taste buds max out at 100, so it's just a marketing gimmick. If it's above 100, you're not going to taste it anyway.
But, right.
But yeah, we as an industry, I think, got carried away with the hops for a long period of time, and we've definitely pulled back from that.
Okay.
And in fact, what you're seeing right now, the trend is toward lighter beers, easier to drink beers, beers that you know that are just quality, you know, well-made beers. And that's why the cream ale is doing so well. You know, it's a beer that, you know, our regulars, like I said, I'm a hop head.
Right.
So I love the hoppy beers. I love Infinity and Heliotropic. But I always start with a cream ale because it actually kind of cleanses my palate, gets me ready for that hoppy
beer. It's very smooth. The cream ale, very smooth and refreshing. Kevin and Violetta came down and had most of it, but I did get some of the porter too, and it was delicious.
The porter, you know, and going back to kind of why is the porter not a flagship beer? It was a seasonal beer for a long period of time. The problem is if you look at the Chicago market, it's one of the most oversaturated distribution markets in the country.
Oh, really?
And, you know, we have to kind of pick our battles when we go into bottles. So we are, you know, we're choosing the three beers that we think are going to kind of catch the most attention that you can drink all the time.
Okay.
And we seriously cannot waste our time putting out the seasonals, which don't catch enough attention. Then they end up cold on the shelves. And so.
And then people think, oh, Empirical's not selling any beer.
Exactly.
You can't have that.
You never want to sell old product. So we're definitely going to pick our battles for now, grow our brand on these three flagships, and then move on from there. But the seasonals are still bottled. You know, we have four seasonals that we bottle once a year.
Very nice.
And they're offered for sale to go in the tap room now, and then we'll get a to-go license pretty soon for the brew pub.
Very cool. Well, listen, congratulations on the success. Congratulations on the new brew pub, which, again, Empirical's brew pub is open at 1328 West Morse Avenue. It's in Rogers Park. The tap room and the brewery is at 1801 West Foster, but the entrance is on Ravenswood. You'll figure it out. Go to empiricalbrewery.com. You'll see what beers are being tapped now, what beers are coming up in the seasonal. All the information is right there. It couldn't be any easier. Empiricalbrewery.com is where you go. And good luck with the brew pub. I know that's it's a big expansion to go from now you're not only a brewer, you're a restaurateur.
Right.
So it's, you know, that's a huge step. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Hurley is the owner and CEO, empiricalbrewery.com. Go there, check it out, and enjoy some wonderful beer and some great food that either has beer in it or pairs well with Empirical's beers.